It's hashtag Bald Lunch, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
We should just change the name of the show to Bald Lunch.
Bald Lunch?
Yeah. Then we can stay on brand.
This feels like people eat off my head. If they
eat off your head?
If you call it Bald Lunch.
Oh, like...
Like off my head.
They'll hire you.
I didn't stutter.
They'll hire you to lay on a table or like stick your head up like through the table, like
the sushi models.
Right, except you know, like the pranks they play where they'll have like the silver platter and you reveal and oh, it's someone's head.
Yeah.
Oh no, and it's come to life.
Mm.
They'll do that essentially, but just eat food off your head.
Yeah. I'd be down for that experience.
Is that like an hors d'oeuvre sort of thing where they pick
that's a main course,
where they pick it off your head, or do they just actually chow down right on top of your head?
Well, if it's hors d'oeuvre,
is it like a plate, are they going to have knife and fork?
No,
they're going to have a knife out there.
Can't do that. That would be a scalping pretty quickly. Do you think that would you call it, like, if it's hors d'oeuvre served off a head, would you call it finger food, or would you have to call it head food?
I think you'd have to call it head food.
All right. What do we want to talk about this week?
We do have a lot of questions. I recently discovered the joys of what the Japanese have been doing lately.
This could go
has nothing to do with
so
sushi.
Many different directions.
I'm not going to actually play this video because it's a hassle to set up in the moment, and it might break everything.
Right.
But there is a video out there of what is, in my opinion, like a newly discovered brilliant idea, which is vacuuming a harmonica. And it makes the most amazing, like, celebratory noise I could have possibly imagined.
Is it like a vuvuzela, only more joyful? A more joyful vuvuzela?
That's a good description,
Vuvuzela?
Vuvuzela, I think so.
Vuvuzela, yeah. Wow, okay. Well, that's without an audio demonstration, that's like kind of worthless.
Right, no, it's pretty amazing if you want to look it up. That's been my joy lately.
Do you want to play it through your phone while I talk about stuff?
I could, yeah. I'm waiting for the Japanese to get creative with it.
Mm.
Like, it's already a good idea, but then if you, like... I don't know, hook up 5 different vacuums to different parts and turn them on and off. And like,
because you can play probably, different chords and yeah, sure.
Right. And I bet they'll go there.
Yeah.
Like, it's too good of an idea not to do.
You are now seeing the evolution of car horns, too.
Car horns?
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to have that
like
noise.
Like, all the Toyotas and Hondas are going to come stock with vacuum. You've already
it's
got
a
the
simpler
vacuum.
Mechanism, right?
Sure.
I mean,
the engine's pulling a vacuum. Might as well throw a harmonica on there.
Every car has an air horn.
Yeah. And have maybe you could have like a switch. You could play different notes.
Oh, I like it. To hit different harmonicas, like there's
a
stack of
there's
four
a warning
harmonicas.
One. There's like a, hey, how's it going? There's
this is
a
good. Tesla, hear these ideas?
Yeah, well, see, Teslas, they don't pull a vacuum because they got the electric motor.
Right. Yeah,
they'd have to run a vacuum pump with their massive batteries. There's no way they could do that.
Speaking of pumps and vacuums, man, my car.
Oh, dude, yeah.
AC.
Mm-hmm.
AC is a real shitter when you got to replace a compressor.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about that?
I've just had some
dealer horror stories we can talk about because
right.
The angle that I'm the only thing that's interesting other than bitching about because our cars are like women in a dormitory. They've synchronized their biological functions. Our air conditioners both died within like a week of each other, right?
Yeah.
So it's been swamped.
And not
ass.
Just like they're not you know, charged. It's like compressor gone out.
Yeah. I've actually never had a compressor fail on any vehicle of mine. I've had to recharge them a couple times, but I've never actually had this. And they fail within a week of each other. And it's been swamp ass central since May. So we decided to...
All right. Listen to this.
Okay. That's the... Okay.
Right? That's pretty good.
Actually, you know what? It sounds like the climax of like a THX
right.
demonstration.
Yeah.
Like the robot's flying around, he's plugging in shit, and the cow stampedes by, and then the THX levitates off the ground, and you get that. You get that.
I hope that came across in the recording.
I think so.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Go look it up.
Vacuum
harmonica.
Harmonica.
It's super easy to find.
But yeah, so we decided, like, since it happened to us both, and it's that we would... take some of our commingled bald move funds and repair our cars.
Because neither of us have the personal funds to shell out.
Nope.
$1,000+.
Nope. And so I got mine taken care of, and then it was Jim's turn. And so you went to the dealer and got a quote.
Yeah, like a couple of weeks ago, I took my car to the dealer because there were some other things wrong with it, and I wanted to get the AC fixed too. And they were like, oh yeah, it'll be $1,000 or whatever. Mm-hmm. Compressor went out, no mm-hmm. problem. Mm-hmm. And I was at the time, I was like, well, I just spent $1,000 fixing the rear fucking axle. I don't want to do that right now. So I didn't do it. And then I brought it over to this other guy, and he says, which I was actually aware of this beforehand, but he said there was a compressor that Honda used in their cars.
This is a Honda CR-V.
Right, that is no longer made and that is actually like prone to breaking mm-hmm. every 6 months. It's just faulty, and there was a class action lawsuit, mm-hmm. and like, I don't know what came of that. I looked for recalls for it before, and there aren't any apparently, mm-hmm. or at least none that cover my car.
If it's not going to, like, I feel like recalls, they only do that if it's killing people.
Right.
Like, if your air conditioner was chopping you up in little bits. Yeah. Or catching on fire and
yeah, like there was also a recall in the airbags, which I took in and got done for free, no problem.
That seems like everyone's airbags get recalled. Like my Vibe had a recall on it as well. Like, are we just sitting on, like, every 10 years we're going to realize, oh, these airbags are killing people too?
Yeah, like they're not as efficient as they could be now. Like,
yeah, or is it efficient or like, because, you know.
It was like, oh, they shatter and send metal through your spine.
Oh,
like,
see, that's that bad. Sort of shit. That's bad. I think the one on the Vibe was what the whatever explosive they used was like powdering, and like it just wouldn't work. They wouldn't fire off or not have sufficient velocity to actually, because they're supposed to like rapidly inflate and then be there to catch your face. If they're inflating as your face is coming up, it's just making things worse, or if they don't inflate at all.
Right. So I took it in.
They need Viagra.
Yeah, he said it's going to be $1,900. There's a kit that you have to use to replace the type of compressor and convert it. And it's like $1,900. I'm like, holy fuck, I don't have that kind of money. I thought $1,000 was going to be my upper end here. And so I don't know. I'm prepared to suffer with no AC, honestly.
I'm here in Kickstarter to save Jim, a GoFundMe to save Jim's air conditioner.
Right. That's a good use of the listeners' funds.
Here's the thing. What is the dealer playing at? Because if they're knowingly putting in a part that will fail within 6 months to a year, what the fuck? And I've had an experience, like I had a Subaru dealer, Tom Woods in Indianapolis, because I want to put them on blast and fuck them. I had an issue with my transmission that was still under warranty, and like it was making this bad smell and making this vibration, and every time I'd take it in, they're like, oh, no, it's nothing. We just have to drain the fluid and do this thing and tweak it up. And it would get better for like a week, and I'd come back, and it would be the same shit. Hmm. And this went on for like a period of 3 months. I took the car in three different times. And I said, like, the last time, I'm like, this is about to go under warranty, man. Like, and this, you know, this all-wheel drive vehicle, I'm sure whatever is fucked up in this transmission is not going to be cheap.
Yeah.
You know, what the hell? And they're like, ah, and they did something else. I take it back a week after it's out of warranty, and they're like, oh, well, it's your rear differential's all burnt up. It's going to be $19 or $2,000 or something.
Wow.
And it's out of, and I'm like, no, no, it's fucking not. No, it's fucking not.
They were just patching you until you got out of warranty.
Exactly. And I'm like, I even said to the guy at the counter, I was like, look, there is a paper trail. This is obvious what you guys are doing.
Yeah.
And I said, and I had to get a lawyer to write, like, you know, I had to pay him $150 to write a sternly worded letter with a bunch of receipts photocopied and shit to finally get some satisfaction. But, like, why do dealers do that? Like, do they not give a shit about repeat business at all?
Why they did it for you, because they, they wanted to, like, they were hoping their patch would hold up longer, I think.
But that's still, like
long enough to get you out of warranty.
If it was 3 months out of warranty, I would have still come up and put my foot up their ass, because what was wrong with the thing was clearly wrong, you know, from the jump.
And, right, but if you hadn't done it, like, three times, if they were like, oh, well, we did it once, and,
it's,
you know, we thought it was this.
Like, they're knowingly doing something that's scummy.
Yeah. So I don't know if, I mean, that has to be the case with this dealer, because there's no way, there is absolutely no way they don't know about that.
Like you said, you Googled it, and it's like the first thing about this particular model.
If I know about it,
yeah,
they know about it. And they're the fucking Honda dealer.
And the independent mechanic knows about it, and he's going to, you know, like, I just don't understand what is the percentage in giving a customer $1,100 fix that's going to fail within 6 months or a year,
right?
And he's going to come right back. And like, that's the thing. Like, you can say you've got a 6 month warranty on an air conditioner compressor, but if it dies within a year, I'm still coming back and put my foot up your ass, because that's not supposed to happen,
right? So that's the thing I liked about this guy, is he called me and he said, "Hey, this is the problem, and we could spend $1,000 and put a compressor in it,
yeah."
It'll fail,
right?
Guaranteed within you know, way, way sooner than
right.
the conversion kit will.
And if the dealer did that, like presented you with a choice, like here's right. the quick fix that yeah. might get you, and maybe it'll last a couple of years, or here's yeah. the thing that will sure, that's one thing, but just to be like, oh yeah, $1,100 and whistle past the graveyard, and
No, it's bullshit. So I will not be going back to that dealer.
Yeah, it's hard to find a dealer that's not completely scummy, because like anytime you got sales and wheeling and dealing, there's a lot of it seems like all the metrics are there to fuck the customer and maximize your profits.
But it's so weird because they already have the disadvantage of being automatically more expensive, right? They're using right. OEM parts.
Right.
Like their guys are more trained on the specific things,
sure,
and therefore cost
sure.
more for labor. Like
yeah.
they don't have the advantages that they could skimp on customer service
yeah.
and still keep customers. So yeah. like I don't think, if anything, the dealers would want to be better at customer service.
And it's weird because, like, there's some dealers, like, it's harder to find the people to work on, like, you know, BMWs and Mercedes. And, like, I had a Mitsubishi VR4
yeah.
3000 GT, and that's, like, you know, you don't take that to a shade tree mechanic.
Right.
And I felt like that those dealers that, I mean, maybe because they charge a premium, like, it's ridiculous expensive to get your oil changed if you have a BMW.
Yeah, I used to have one.
Right. So I'm like, it feels like the day, for some reason, even though they've got a lock where you kind of incentivize to only use them, they seem like they have a better reputation.
Huh.
Because they charge more. Like, it feels like the dealers.
Just the luxury car dealers? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. But even like Mitsubishi, I wouldn't call Mitsubishi as a luxury car. Like, I had a sport, you know, like a.
Right. It was a higher
borderline
end car.
Exotic sport car, but.
Yeah.
They were good, but that's fucking Subaru dealer. God damn, they were the worst.
Yeah, the guy that I took my BMW to does like the exotics mm-hmm. or the imports, whatever they call them.
Right.
Like Mercedes and
sure.
Audis and stuff. And, you know, my BMW wasn't fancy. Mm-hmm. I paid $1,400 for it. It was a piece of shit. But...
Yeah, you got it as a project car.
Right. And so like he was real good. I took it to him and.
Right.
He'd tell me, you know, exactly what's wrong with it. Oh, he'd help me, like, oh, well, that's real expensive. Okay, well, we can do this thing for you.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, maybe, you know, keep the thing running without breaking the bank. But,
Do you have any big July 4th plans?
I'm going to do some festival thing with my girlfriend. We're going to watch fireworks. I don't know. Typical July 4th stuff.
I talked to my hairdresser, the woman who shaves my head every 4 to 6
right.
weeks.
Yeah.
And I asked her, I talked to, you know, said, it's kind of a bummer. We're going to have shitty weather most of the weekend. And she says, you're going to go watch fireworks. I said, well, I thought about going downtown. But my friend was talking about this festival at Blue Ash that maybe that was interesting to take out. She's like, oh, it's a fucking mess.
A fucking mess is her
to
quote.
Be fair, like, that's what she said about everything I've ever, like, Taste of Cincinnati, it's gonna be a fucking mess, you know, whatever the fireworks display that WEBN puts
she
in.
She just doesn't like crowds.
I think that's what yeah. it is. I think yeah. that's what it is. She just hates to be around masses of people, and that's, if you're going to a festival, if they've done their job right, and it's not like the festival of razor blade infested possums, you're going to have a crowd of people wanting to get in.
Right.
So
if you don't like crowds, festivals are not the place for you.
Right. But you might be walking into a fucking mess, man. Just Jess the hairdresser has declared it.
I went to a Geta festival not too long ago.
Geta. Oh, yeah. Sure. That's yeah. a Cincinnati essentially meat and oatmeal blend
right.
kind of smoothie.
Pretty good. Yeah. I'm a fan.
I
had Geta balls.
Very similar to what my granddad used to call head mush, where he would boil a pig's head
right.
for like 2 days and then stir oats in there. And did okay. you have it with like Karo syrup or?
No, I just had Geta balls. Just plain.
You didn't dip it in anything? Didn't dip
deep
your balls
fried,
in anything?
I mean, it's deep fried. Like, you don't really. No.
Yeah, but however good they tasted, they taste better with Karo syrup or
think?
Maple syrup.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm not a huge sauce guy, honestly.
Mm.
I don't do a lot of sauces.
Mm.
Even with French fries, I'm not.
You
I
don't
always
ketchup,
do ketchup.
Really?
I do sometimes,
wow.
but not always.
Okay,
depends on how bad the fries are.
I'm
if
a
the fries
big
are bad.
Guy.
I go ketchup.
I'm a big sauce guy. I like barbecue and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So, like barbecue sauce. I've been dabbling with making my own barbecue sauce.
Oh, tangy.
Yeah.
Is it tangy or is it sweet?
I'm trying to make.
Is it bitter and sour?
like my favorite off the shelf is
Don't say it? Sweet Baby Ray's.
Sweet Baby Ray's.
I don't like Kansas City style. Too sweet for me.
Right.
I don't like
Same
it.
Here. Yeah. But I like the underlying spice and the viscosity of it.
Okay.
So I'm trying to take that and essentially it's I took what it is you know that sriracha pulled pork recipe that I make? I made it at one of the bypasses for everybody.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
So there's this you take this base of like a couple tablespoons of mustard and like a quarter cup of sriracha, and then you baste the pork with that, and then you rub
like
this spice rub
that's
got like cumin and paprika and shit tons of brown sugar and a bunch of fresh ground black pepper. And I'd noticed that, like, you know, as I would rub the pig and all that stuff, like every once in a while, I got and
just the
rub in that sriracha mustard was like pretty good. So I started one time, I just took and took all the rub and all of the base and I just mixed it together. And I'm like, this is actually the start of something interesting. So then I started substituting like fresh garlic instead of garlic powder and mixing the proportions just right. And then like giving it like an apple vinegar base and, you know, like cooking it for various.
Right.
I'm like experimenting.
Turning it into an actual barbecue
sauce.
Yeah,
I'm trying to get like a nailed down barbecue sauce. But already it's kind of like what in its state it's our preferred for when I make ribs.
Mm-hmm.
Cecily always wants me to make up the special sauce. So
make that special sauce.
We're gonna put that in the Bald Moose store, Aaron special sauce.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get your face on.
For short. Aaron special sauce. Give some of the ass sauce.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean Aaron special sauce? We're going to have that pedant war. You know, like ATM machine.
Oh, right.
Oh, you mean
the
automatic teller machine? Fuck off. Everyone knows what you're talking about.
Yeah, DNS service.
If you don't say ATM machine, people think you're talking about unspeakable sex acts, unsanitary sex acts.
Where my head goes first, but okay.
Sure. All right. Well,
we have some Bald Lunch questions.
Do we?
There's a 4th of July thing here. I don't know if you want to get to that.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I saw that and I'm scared because if I give it a truthful answer, I might be on even more FBI lists than I am.
Okay.
In being 4th of July weekend and both of you being 80s to 90s kids, what was your experience playing with fireworks as kids? Or did the JW life also block you for most of the fun of blowing stuff up with M80s and Roman candles? Just curious. Fern from New York City. Fernando wants to know, what's your history with explosives, Jim?
So, we have a friend who is ironically named, a family of friends that are ironically named because their father once exploded himself in a well-digging accident.
You're referring to the Burns.
The Burns,
clan.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's not ironically named. It's perfectly named.
In the Alanis Morissette sense of the word, it's ironic.
Yeah. He needed a spoon. All he had was a shovel, and he blew himself up.
Yeah. He survived. Well, he didn't die.
No, right. We wouldn't be laughing about it.
He suffered third-degree burns, like all the hair, like a lot, big parts of hair and his eyebrows. And
frankly, I wouldn't laugh about it if he hadn't tried to kiss me while his face was half melted
Sure,
off.
Yeah, that was his go-to. Like, look how disgusting I am.
Come here, give me a hug, give me a kiss. Yeah, so this family, I spent a lot of time at their house playing with fireworks.
Yeah.
Every so often, not around the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of just whenever we had them. Because, you know, you don't celebrate 4th of July as a witness.
Nope.
And I don't know, the craziest we ever got was, like, shooting bottle rockets at each other.
Right.
Out of actual bottles. Like, just light them up, stick them in a bottle, point it at somebody, and go for it.
Did you ever try to hold on to a bottle rocket in your hand?
No, because the splinters.
Like 6 or 7 inches and in the bottle. Yeah, that doesn't feel good. I've done it. It's essentially just hot gas.
Oh,
pouring
right on
onto
your
the top of your hand, yeah.
Also, no splinters from those because those are shoddily made sticks.
I didn't let the rocket go. I'm saying I held on to it for its ignition process, and then it exploded.
Like that just doesn't sound like a good idea.
I know. I was challenged by Ace Jace, and his pain threshold was incredible.
Uh-huh.
So he just like casually fists it and does that, and then I'm like, well, I'm. Am I a man or not? You know, you get trapped into that bullshit when you're a teenager. And
right.
Yeah.
I think he'd be more concerned about his hands, given what he did for a hobby.
Playing video games?
Yeah.
Well, the story is, if I go to... should I tell... I don't know. Is it wise for me to talk about my history with the whole fireworks and where that ended up going?
You have a sordid history. Let's shroud it in mystery.
Okay.
I like that. You have a sordid past with fireworks.
The short story is fireworks for a long time were illegal in Indiana. Like anything beyond like ground sparklers and the blossoms and the stupid snakes.
And the stupid cats or whatever they were.
Anything that like there is strict controls over it. And about the mid to early 90s, that stuff was lit because you just have to go out of state. Like if you wanted mortar shells or even bottle rockets, you had to go to out of state fireworks. Go to Kentucky or Ohio or Michigan or Illinois rather, because I think Michigan was kind of the same way. Anyway, so I was raised with stories of my dad telling me about all the hijinks he'd get up to with, like, cherry bombs and M-80s back when that was, like, a thing. So when we first got, like, cherry bombs and M-80s, they're just a pale imitation. Like, they might look like be that big, but if you open them up, they got, like, a little teeny packet of black powder.
Yeah.
So we were so underwhelmed by the destructive ability of these that we started, like, buying 50 M-80s. Harvesting
them.
The explosives out of them and combining them in like prescription pill bottles and etc. And it just progressed from there until we essentially became domestic terrorists. Didn't hurt anybody, didn't destroy any property that didn't belong to us, but definitely had some hair-raising, terrifying incidents of backyard explosives. So, yeah, I'll leave that shrouded mystery.
Okay. Don't they use essentially the same thing in the hobby rocket engines?
I don't know.
Is that black powder or is that like some kind of...
Oh, are you talking about like the... you're talking about like the actual you build a rocket? I wouldn't think so. No. I thought that was like some kind of solid thing. Whereas... I actually don't know what technically they use in fireworks because we eventually moved
to... It's obviously not like rocket fuel that they're using in those rocket engines.
No. I don't know what they do.
Something else. My favorite thing when I was real young was those whippersnapper things.
I still love whippersnappers. They make XL whippersnappers now. They're like five times the size.
Oh my God. What does that sound like?
Like a .22 rim shot firing and like,
throw that at someone's feet.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. So I was at, like 2 years ago, we were at a 4th of July backyard party at Cecily's family. And Cecily's family are a little rough and tumble. And the entire family, like Cecily's stepdad, her brother, her other brother, her aunts, which are her mom's sisters, cornered Lisa, her mom, at the back door. And while she was frantically trying to scramble into the house, they were just pelting her with these XL whippersnappers.
Oh,
it was insane. It was insane. Hilarious.
Right.
But I'm like, I'm just going to stay out of this one, lest the guns be brought up to bear on me.
How do they do the mixing on those? Like,
have you never opened them up?
No, I've seen them. They're just like sand and
they're sand and like salt or something like that.
Right, so
there's
like
salt and there's black powder and salt to make
just
the friction
abrasive enough to explode when it hits. So like you gotta be careful mixing that stuff.
I don't know.
I mean, not super careful, but
like if you just have a pile of black powder on your table and you light it just goes woof, like like makes a big cloud of smoke, like magicians. So I don't, unless you're compressing it, I don't think it'd ever be. I mean, obviously, if you have hundreds and hundreds of pounds of black powder in a room.
Right.
There's a little care.
Maybe
don't
smoke.
Sure. That would always suck if you'd get like a pack of like whippersnappers and...
Oh, they were loose?
And like 25 out of the 50 had already exploded.
Yeah.
It's like, oh man. Because you go through those, like you get like a case of 10.
Oh,
and you're like, oh, I'm set for the fucking summer. And then later that afternoon, you're on your last pouch.
Right.
It was so much fun.
Suddenly you're not scaring squirrels.
Did you ever do the like snap between your fingers kind of stuff? Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't hurt.
It's no, just... but the first time you do it, it's a rush.
Yeah.
Because like you don't know how bad this is going to hurt.
It's true. Okay. We have some Twitter hashtag bald lunch questions.
Bald lunch. Bring it on.
Let's start with, now that we are a couple weeks removed from it, what are... Oh God, it updated. What are, he says y'all most excited about coming out of E3 this year? For me, there's really only one game that I was super excited about, which is Sea of Thieves. Did we talk about that last week?
Is that the
week?
One where it's like the massively online player pirate simulator?
Yeah, I think we talked about it last week.
I think so too. The one I'm excited about is that the last Guardian, the one coming out of the studio that made Ico and Shadows of the Colossus.
Yeah, I think that's what it's called.
I thought so too, but then it seems like that's a lot closer to The Last Starfighter, and that's not that thing. That's the one I'm probably most excited about.
Really? Okay.
I replayed. I downloaded the PS4 version of Shadows of the Colossus last Christmas, and beat it over Christmas break. It really holds up. It's a great game. I think that and Ico, and if they have something that's that kind of immersive, atmospheric, and quietly sad, I would be pretty thrilled.
Like, everybody lost their shit over God of War. I don't give a fuck. Like, great, they turned it into a Tomb Raider game.
Mm.
Why do you care? I've played 16 different games that are exactly like Tomb Raider in the last 5 years. I mean, it's a third-person action game, just like...
That's the way it's always been, though.
No.
Like, what did they... Okay,
so
I heard there was a new one, and I'm like, great, I'm about ready for one.
Right, so you know how you were doing, like, the button-mashy type combo stuff? Yeah. It's not that anymore. It's more like Shadows of Mordor or something, except without the...
Like Batman?
Without the intricate battle system. It's just a third-person, over-the-shoulder action game now. And I'm like, I've played 16 of those in the last few years. I don't want to play any more of them. And I don't give a shit about the God of War lore, because there is none. And it's just bad. Like...
I thought
he's angry.
Yeah, I thought. Who gives a fuck? Did you even watch cutscenes? I thought that the story was compelling by those blockbuster video game standards.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm with you. Like, between The Last Batman and Shadows of Mordor, I'm done.
Yeah, I'm with over those that style.
I never thought I'd say that, but I really don't care to press triangle to block and square to punch ever again.
Or climb towers and light shit like Assassin's Creed, like all that stuff.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed also can go fuck itself too. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm done with those style games.
So Sea of Thieves, on the other hand, looks entirely new and really interesting in a cool cooperative
way. I'm such a sucker. I mean, I just replayed Sid Meier's Pirates. That's like literally a 12-year-old game at this point, which was a remake of a 30-year-old game before it. So I am ate up about sailing and pirates and all that high seas type adventure. So you will definitely have a first mate on that voyage.
Okay, cool.
If no one else.
It's just you're on the cannon, I'm on the steering wheel. Whatever that's called. I'm sure it's not a steering wheel.
It's the helm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll dress up like Data. You can dress up like Picard.
No. We need to be more like Captain Bly and... You can't do Picard and Data when Sail.
Yeah, they did. Remember, they did those missions where they'd go out in the holodeck
Worf got promoted.
Yeah, and they made him walk the plank.
And they disappeared. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
We can do that.
And Data threw Troy overboard, which I still maintain is hilarious. Like, you didn't get humor wrong, Data.
No.
Like, you know.
You know, she might be angry about it, but everybody else should have laughed.
Yeah. Since the writers were against you, Data.
Okay, how about this? Alex Myers says, how beneficial was it to Bald Move that you are both programmers? # Bald Lunch.
That we're both programmers? Not very. That one of us is programmers? Crucial.
Immensely, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not so much the programming, it's the technical expertise of... knowing how to run a server and hook up different parts of a software system.
Yeah.
Because we never would have been able to get this club going. Even the website, like the features we wanted, we could do it, but like even setting up the RSS feeds was tough.
Yeah.
Like all the different ones we wanted. And it's super important that we were technically savvy.
Yeah, and you know, it's frustrating because right now I know how to engineer a solution to make our website run like a top.
Right.
But I lack the time and the ability to to research how to do it on this particular platform. I lack the time to do the research, do the work, and do the testing. And that's super frustrating. I posted something to the forums. Because somebody posted something about, it's Game of Thrones season when the Bald Move homepage shows us.
And I was like, yep.
Yeah, database failure, whatever. And, it's super frustrating because, but I posted an image, a snapshot of our traffic over the last, 6 months. And you can see, and to know that those first, the low months are actually, that's Walking Dead. That's our second biggest show. But just Game of Thrones has always been like twice as big as our most popular show. But this year, I don't know what combinations of things led to us being anointed as the most popular or like go-to suggestion. But holy shit. If you look at the traffic, it's like just straight line, 60-degree angle to the top.
Yeah,
and like we had never had a show like a one day download of over like 89,000 before,
right?
And it became like after the first or second week, we were having 100,000 days, like three times a week. We're getting 150,000 day download days, and
yeah, we just hit our first 200,000.
We doubled our web server capacity three times to keep pace, and the last one was going to be an extra like $1,000, and like I don't know that,
and
I
it was just, like 2 weeks out, and we're just like,
I don't know if I can justify doing that to make sure that it will run on the like 4 hours out of the week where it's getting the most, because the rest of the time it's acceptable,
right?
And after Game of Thrones, the main part of that traffic dies off, it'll probably be acceptable. But yeah, we got a complete re-architecture that we have to conceive of probably before even The Walking Dead comes on. I'd like to get it in place before then.
Yeah, I'm talking to a company called Pagely, which does WordPress hosting services on Amazon, on the AWS platform, and you know, all of that. Although they don't, apparently they got back to me and their auto scale solution only applies to their enterprise level stuff, and they are doing like EC2 as VPS servers or whatever. Kind of the same way we're set up now, except they can move us to Amazon's Aurora database, which is supposed to be like three to five times faster than just a standard MySQL database.
Right.
So, I don't know. We are absolutely looking into, you know, it's going to cost us a lot of money for sure. I mean, I imagine we won't get away with spending less than $1,000.
When you say automatic, though, could we scale it ourselves? Because autoscale, it's like that defines is like there's a certain level of threshold where it brings on more resources automatically.
Right.
Whereas not like that's something we could like, okay, on Sundays we need to, you know, turn, you know, we need to triple the cluster and then, you know, leave that up through Tuesday and then we can throttle it back down.
Maybe so. I mean, we might be able to work out something with them like that. I haven't read through the email. It's a big, long email. I still need to talk with them more, but I don't know how much it's going to cost yet, so we may not even end up going with that, but we have to do something, and I know it's going to be expensive, so I'm kind of holding my nose and ready to leap, you know? Can I just say fuck you to the Twitter client on the iPhone?
Sure.
Because
iOS? Because I highly recommend it.
There are 1,000 Twitter clients I could use. I've never had this problem before because I never do searches on Twitter, but when you search on Twitter, and you keep that screen up, it constantly refreshes and pushes you back to the top of the list.
Oh, wow, that's terrible.
So I can't, like, sit here and know which questions I've asked. That said, Jeff Rickles Jr. says, any news on the podcast or on the prospect of a live Bald Move podcast? I think he's talking about live events as, like, OTR. OTR is live event stuff. Yeah, I actually contacted a venue this week about that. York Street Cafe, which is somewhere I've been to once before. It's actually in Kentucky. It's just over the border. They have
Florence,
a really cool.
Or is it in Newport or?
I think maybe.
Not Florence,
probably
I'm sorry.
Newport.
Is it Newport or what's the other one?
Covington?
Covington, yeah.
I don't know. It's very close by because I've been to it once before.
We need to reach out to The Rook because I think the Rook would be a good one too. That's the gaming cafe.
Oh.
Like I imagine.
Yeah,
we
we'd have to rent out like the top.
We might be able to do that midweek for reasonable prices. And they got the drinks, they got the food, they got the games.
Right, that's what I liked about York Street. It's a cafe, so you can get food there. And also, like, the second story lounge has a bar just built into it.
Right.
So, like, you don't have to wait for servers to come downstairs. You just go to the bar.
Right.
And it's a. I saw a concert there, so, like, I know it'd be a suitable place for it. It's
what'd
just
you
a
see? Who'd you see?
A band called The Clausels.
What are they?
CLA-ZELS.
You heard of them or just saw like a advertisement? And
they're friends with my brother. I don't know. I don't know how he found out about them, but they're
if you don't know, his brother did the theme song for our Walking Dead podcast.
Right. Yeah. And has a band called My Stereona.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck spelling that.
Right.
M-Y-S-T-E-R.
It's mystery. I-A-N-A. Take off the Y, add an I, and then an Anna.
Sure.
Simple.
I believe they're on a hiatus right now. I don't know if they're doing anything actively, but they still have a website. Okay, let's move on. But yes, we are looking into that. It's something I definitely want to do.
Do you want to talk about the other?
Nope.
Okay.
Not yet. I'm also planning something slightly bigger. But
do you also do
teasers?
Can we talk about some of the proposals we made to the Huntsville, Alabama joint?
Oh yeah.
The
one I submitted was accepted. Mine was.
How did you get that? How did you get an acceptance?
I don't know. I got
no.
An email.
I mean, did it come through email? That's what I'm asking.
Oh, in. Yeah.
So did you see all of them? Because I used the same.
I just saw the one that came to me. I don't know. It might have said panels, so maybe they did it all at once and just said, yeah, they're all accepted, but I don't know.
Huh. Yeah, I actually got some responses to that, too. Yeah. Oh, so all four panels have been accepted.
Okay, cool.
Wow. Okay, that's cool. So I guess we could talk about that. We got four panels. One is going to be a panel about adapting. It's like a meta-analysis of the adaptations of works in the television. Specifically, we're going to be talking about The Walking Dead and Game of Thrones and comparing and contrasting their approaches and their success and failures, or perceived successes of their different approaches of doing that. And like, you know, the way that things have flip-flopped the Game of Thrones. Also probably touching on The Leftovers, Tom Perrotta's adaptation in that. There's an author or a director who's had a movie that's been adapted into a graphic novel series, and I'm not sure, we might have him join us in that panel for extra discussion on that stuff. We've got a panel about essentially niche podcasting.
Right.
And, you know, like the perils and pitfalls and
And how to get started in that and, you know, how to find a niche, how to run with it once you've got a niche.
The one that's really fun that I'm looking forward to is a cordial invitation to the Red Wedding.
This is going to be
so
fun.
Jim and I are going to dress up as Roose Bolton and Walder
Roose?
Frey.
I feel like you've got the more Roosey face.
Yeah, you think I got a more Roosey face? All right.
Because I don't have a face for either, honestly. Like,
uh-huh. Well, you put a gray wig on. That's what I'm thinking. Like, you put a gray Benjamin Franklin wig on anybody, and they're halfway to being Walder Frey.
Yeah.
Then you need to find a 13-year-old girl to slap on the ass and act inappropriately towards. But no, we're going to dress up with those
characters.
I've got
those lined up. We're good on those.
We're going to get on the stage. We're going to have this big, long table where we're going to have 10 to 12 volunteers come up, and we're going to essentially play a reskin version of Werewolf. If you never played that, everybody at the table is Starks, and one person's a Frey. And after each course of the meal, you guys have had so much to drink that you're going to pass out drunk. And the Frey is going to put your heads down on the table. We'll probably blindfold you. And the Frey is going to get up and murder somebody. And then you wake up and you see that someone's been murdered, and you have to determine who is the traitor, who's the Frey, and poison their cup. And then we're going to have like five or six courses of meals. And if the Frey can avoid detection and kill six Starks, then they win. If not, the Starks win. And then we're going to give prizes away to everybody that we draft up. And we're going to perform this in front of an audience. Mm-hmm. So our plan is to like go for broke on hamming up and you know,
heckling.
Narrating the assert. Yeah. Providing color commentary about the action. And it should be a good time.
Yeah.
And then another fourth panel is I'm going to do a demonstration on how to build a bow for like $5 and no tools or skills involved.
Right.
So we'll probably have I'll probably demonstrate the techniques and then have like a video and like some handout stuff, because I don't think I don't think they're going to allow, because I present it as a workshop where everybody could come in and just build a bow.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously people running around with bows, you know, if you can get your hand on like Dalrod, you've got a real hazard there at the convention. So I don't think they're going to allow. Plus, you know, if you don't string it, you've got a 4-foot staff suitable for beating the hell out of somebody. So I don't know. I don't know if you could peace bond those. You know that? Like if you bring a fake gun and they like put a pink ribbon on it so people know it's not real.
Oh, they have a very strict no weapons policy. And
sure.
Like,
But for like, cosplaying, like if you bring a even a foam sword, like you bring in a battle rifle from Halo, it gets piece bonded. Giant foam sword, piece bonded. I don't know what their particular rules are about that, but yeah, those are the four panels.
The rules are absolutely no play fighting. Yeah,
is that actually a rule?
Yeah, no play fighting? You can go to their FAQ and see all their rules.
Ah, okay.
No play fighting. All the guns have to have those orange tips. Sure. You know. Okay. Like pretty standard stuff, I think.
All right. But yeah, so I'm and we might do more, but those are the ones that we pitched and got approved just this week. So. Cutting edge news for the Rocket City NerdCon.
All right, we need to blast through some of these. Hashtag Bald Lunch. Joe Ressington says, I'd love to know what kind of download numbers you get for the different casts and how they correlate to show ratings. They roughly track with show ratings. Like, the bigger the show, the more numbers we'll get.
But there's some that, like there's some things become phenomenons, like
right.
Game of Thrones and Breaking Bad in the day, where they just kind of, like, they're... There is no real. They just like generate so much discussion that, you know, and they're just particular shows where people are trying to predict the future and do theories and stuff, and they kind of maybe two or four times bigger than what their already huge audiences are as far as their podcast. And then yeah. Some like Fargo or Justified is the classic example of a show that way underperformed. Like it's getting an audience of 4.5 million. And we're barely getting 2,000 downloads. You know, like you'd expect on a show that big to get 10 to 15,000 downloads. It's hard to say now because Game of Thrones at its peak last year was 80, 90,000 per podcast. So a grand download total of like 150,000. And what did the last podcast we did? In like the first 2 days, was it at 200,000 already?
Yeah, I mean the one we released on Tuesday last night had hit over 200,000.
That's insane! Like nothing like that. I'm talking when I said 80, 90,000. That's a week's traffic total,
right?
Like this is 200,000 in the first 48 hours.
No, that's crazy. I mean, we did we're doing 250,000 downloads on each of those episodes now.
Yeah,
and like we did over 2.5 million downloads in the month.
Right.
So like. That's where our server problems come from.
Yeah, I mean, it took us 4 years to get 10 million downloads. We're going to trip 20 before the end of this year, easy.
Oh, yeah, with easy. Walking Dead, sure.
So, like, that just gives you an idea.
Yeah, we're at, like, growth, 18 million now.
The growth, yeah, the growth we're experiencing. It's crazy, and it's awesome. Like, I put on the forums, it's awesome in every sense of the word. Like, awesome, like... old school fear of God, awesome, like totally radical, like it's all of that.
Yeah, there are certainly growing pains that we're dealing with, but I across the board I'm surprised by it, but like super grateful for it.
I knew the Game really of Thrones weird. Is going to be huge this year, but it's like two or three times even bigger than in my wildest imagination.
Yeah, I mean, last year kind of stagnated a little. It wasn't like a huge growth year.
Yeah, like we started out at 70,000 and we ended at 90, which is still, like, that's not exactly stagnant, but that's pretty amazing. But we also had...
This year has been...
Yeah, this year it came back at like 100,000 and just kept on vertical climbing.
Yeah.
And it's all like... I know a big part of it was we got massive word of mouth on Reddit, like every, at the beginning of the season and even before, you know, in both the Song of Ice and Fire Reddit and the Game of Thrones Reddit, if you found a thread that's like, what's a good podcast? We were always like the top, upvoted comment. And then like, you know, iTunes reviews. And then once we got onto like the front page of fucking iTunes, it would just pour gas on that fire.
That totally helped. And yeah, because we hit number 6 on the top podcast, and then we're actually literally on the homepage.
Right. And we've gotten like to the top of TV and film quite a few times, but this is all of iTunes.
Right. Like Game of Thrones.
Like we beat Joe Rogan.
And Mark Maron and like the McElroys and like Dan Harmon. And
what the hell?
I don't fucking get it, man. Yeah. I don't get it, but... Thank you.
Yeah, I hope I hope they stick around and become club members eventually.
Right. So yeah, that would be nice.
That would be nice to keep some of them.
Let's go to D, who says, when's Aaron doing his advice column? I need to know how to deal with noisy neighbors without starting a turf war. Hashtag bald lunch.
Well, I didn't say give good advice.
See, I can't do... So, like, I cannot join you on this podcast.
Why?
I'm forever spoiled on advice shows by Bim Bam. Like, I just... It would turn into my brother, and me.
What's wrong with that? First of all, I've never listened to it, so you can bring that flavor, and I'll just give, like, shoot your neighbor's lights out. They'll get the idea eventually.
Well, that's essentially what Bim Bam would probably say. it would just turn into that show for me, and personally, I'm not interested in just copying what Bim Bam is doing.
Yeah.
Like, you don't listen to it, so, like,
right.
Go ahead and do your advice thing, but for me, I would always be... God, I'm doing my Bim Bam.
What is your... arguably...
I cannot do it better than them.
Arguably,
that's the problem.
We were doing Jay and Jack. And I didn't... That's what's awesome about that is I never listened to Jay and Jack, so I didn't know that we were just aping their successful format.
That felt more natural to me because that's just kind of who I am. Uh-huh. Like, I identify with Jay and Jack because I'm a lot like them. I think the McElroys are hilarious, and I feel like I would be aping them. More than just expressing my
own personality. I don't think you give yourself enough credit. But the other thing is, like, it's a bummer because I don't know that I'm going to do a single person advice show. Like, I need you to be my I need you to be my Robin. Oh, that would be...
That'd be a hoot, as they say in the South.
I have to edit our podcast so much more than your and I's, though, because we bicker and fight, and we, like... for some reason...
You bicker and fight?
Well, here's
I haven't
the thing.
Listened, because
like,
I don't watch
the
shows.
We have disagreements, and I can just be like, oh, you're fucking stupid. And, like, you'd be like, you know, whatever, and the podcast rolls on. Whereas, I play that rough with Cecily, and it, like, grinds the podcast to a halt.
Right, right.
And, you know, it's like, it fucks up the chemistry. And I'm like, oh, God, that's like, I haven't found the way... Like usually when we're agreeing, it's a ball, it's a barrel of monkeys, and it seems like it goes. But like, and same thing with her. Like sometimes she disagrees in a way that like shuts off the disagreement, the conversation. I feel like, and vice versa, where it's like it just kind of like grinds things. Like I have no idea how to respond to that. You know, my point of view has been shut down so hard.
I've only ever felt like that a couple of times on our podcast.
Yeah, like it'll
where I've been
a
like,
handful
oh,
of times.
Well, you really fucking dismissed that quick and violently and
right.
And you know, I'm like, grr, and then I move on. Like mm-hmm. I'm not ready to stop the podcast.
Yeah,
and,
it's same, like
and
again,
hash it out right then and there.
A handful of times a year that will happen right. With one or the other of us, where it's like it feels like it's every other week.
you guys
well,
you have to live together.
Is,
that's
the other thing is we had a lot more angry podcasts when we were doing full-time jobs and doing double podcasts in a week.
Or eight podcasts.
There's a couple
week.
Times where I can remember, like, with especially the Mad Men podcast, which was this where we both
season.
Came in like gritting our teeth, like just fucking get over it. And then it's hey, it's Jim and Nate. You know, it's like we'd bury it. But I think some of that's into play too. Because I gotta tell you, I'm burnt the fuck out.
Are you?
You've
been doing a lot.
I agreed to do Banshee and Penny Dreadful because I think that's what the community of people that listen to me and Cecily's podcast wanted, and I was excited about both of those shows, and I felt betrayed by both of those shows, and I felt like the effort I put into it was largely, you know... misplaced.
Yeah, and then one of them got canceled, right?
Both. Well, I mean, Banshee, we knew going into
Banshee
the final
over,
season.
Yeah.
At least they pulled the finale was fairly entertaining and rewarding as a fan. But Penny Dreadful, like halfway through the season, which was excellent so far, just really... And
then said, hey, we're not coming back.
And then said, hey, we're not coming back. Here's a half-ass finale that we're going to tack on to the entire show. And then right as that was going on, Orange is the New Black... with our new format where I have to watch 6 episodes and commentate on them every week. And then this week,
yeah.
I had audio problems. I'm really, like, cannot wait for a little bit of the summer lull to come in. But we're jumping right into fucking Mr. Robot, too.
Right. We're going to have Mr. Robot.
So I have to watch, like, what, 12 hours of that over the holiday weekend?
Yeah, my Monday is going to be entirely Mr. Robot. Mm. Like, catching back up on it, refreshing my memory so we can do a podcast on Wednesday mm-hmm. and get that out and the feed started and everything. I got to make a fucking logo for this thing.
Dude.
I still don't have an idea for it.
Yeah.
I've been noodling, but...
I thought we had another week of June.
Me too.
June just slammed shut, and it's like, oh my God, it's July 1st.
And then August 23rd, we finally have a fucking date on this thing.
For Halt and Catch Fire?
Halt and Catch Fire is coming back, yeah. So me and Eric are going to be covering that. I think we have a name for the show.
What is it?
It's tentatively called Mutiny Chat Room, which Mutiny is the company that...
Oh, they formed after the
first season? Cameron and... fucking other woman's name I don't remember.
Oh, Donna.
I only know Joe and...
Wasn't Donna... You're talking Joe about the Cameron. One guy's... the Steve Wozniak's wife?
I think you might be right. That Joe and Donna... Or Joe. That Cameron and Donna started.
Okay.
It's called Mutiny, and they built like this... They were a games company, and they kind of stumbled into this idea of, oh, our chat rooms are super popular. Let's just focus on that. So we're going to go with Mutiny Chat Room. Because there were already, like, Halt and Cast Fire, which was going to be our initial name, taken.
Yeah.
Like, 2 weeks ago, somebody started a podcast called Halt and Cast Fire. And Halt I know and it cast... was one of you motherfuckers. I know it was.
Halt and Cast Fire was available up to 2 weeks ago?
And we didn't jump on it.
Oh, that's got a sting.
It does. It does. Although, I like Mutiny Chat Room a lot.
Yeah.
We were noodling. Although, I don't know if that's going to be the name, so don't get your hopes up too much. But we're definitely doing a podcast on it. Hashtag bald lunch.
Yeah, I was brainstorming names and dismissing them in my head. All right, got to stop it. Moving on. Mutiny Chat Room.
I don't know how to pronounce this last name. Eric Kunanen says, when was the last time you had lunch during lunch with Jim and Aaron? Also, jonesing for another quip. Hashtag bald lunch.
Never.
Never. We've never eaten lunch during
lunch. We actually envisioned it as us like having a Jimmy John or a burrito, but then we realized. It's just going to be a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good point. You know, and like long pauses while we're swallowing and like, it's more to give you guys something to do on your lunch than it is for us.
Yeah, we eat lunch between noon and one.
Sometimes and then, on really unfortunate days, we go afterwards and like my insides are eating their way out. But yeah.
He also says, Jim, you're Italian. How can you say you're not a sauce guy? I'm kind of Italian in name only. Don't know if you guys have noticed.
Maybe what would that little be? Eno? Like Rhino's Republican in name only. And there's like it's a.
Italian in name only.
Eno? It sounds like a Hawaiian Memorial Highway. Eno.
It's Hawaiian sauce.
There you go. Yep. You do like salsa, which literally means sauce in Spanish.
Right. I mean, I guess. So I do like some sauces. I just don't do a lot of ketchups or mustards or.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But for pasta, yeah, you got to have sauce.
Sure. Have you ever made your own spaghetti sauce?
An oil.
Have you ever made your own spaghetti sauce?
No, I haven't tried to.
You ought to follow the Godfather recipe, because you can't go too far wrong, honestly.
Just throw a bunch of tomatoes and garlic in a pot.
You get some olive oil, you fry up some sausages, put in your tomatoes, cup of sugar. I started making my own spaghetti sauce about 2.5 years ago, and it's so much better than shit you buy in a jar. And it's,
I
cook a big piss pot full of it. It down, freeze it in bags, and then
I should do that.
It's amazing
because I have, you know, bought sauce and then frozen it and rationed it,
sure,
in different things. So why not?
The
just
key
make
is
my
to
own?
Make a huge amount, so then you've got like 8 servings. Ready
I have
to
a
go.
Crock pot. I could like a big ass
really?
Crock pot. I could do it in.
I guess you could simmer it in there. Why not?
I don't see why not. It's the same thing as
You don't have a big stock pot. Is what you don't have.
Right. Yeah.
I would. For Christmas, I would buy you a set of pots, except for I have a feeling they would never be used. Preventing you from cooking, I almost wanted to get that for you sometime for a birthday or Christmas.
Not having a giant stock pot. I mean, I have pots and pans.
Right. But the cooked spaghetti sauce you need.
Right. I don't have that.
Yeah.
But.
Or chili.
I don't think that's what's been stopping me.
But you can buy you're right. You can make spaghetti sauce in a crock pot or chili in a crock pot.
I made chili in the slow cooker, yeah.
Because that's the other thing I do. I make giant quantities of chili and then freeze them.
Okay.
Do you want me to do a couple? Because we've got some stacked up here on the Hangout side.
Go for it.
All right. Michelle wants to know, Aaron, if by some miraculous chance in a perfect world Netflix picks up Penny Dreadful, would you and Cecily consider reviving the podcast? It was so good and I hate to see the show and your podcast end. I'd have to see it, man, or woman in this case. Is John Logan involved? Are they going to retcon Ava Green being? Because honestly, Ava Green is 93% of reason I watched the show. Like, her performance was so amazing and like something I've never gone, and how she could go from demonic to beautiful, and usually I thought it's
the other way around.
Yeah,
you get married and it's all
no. And then Josh, like her romance with Josh Hartnett, and yeah, all the other supporting cast was awesome. But I don't know, like maybe the further adventures of Sirian and Ethan would be interesting. But Ava, man, that's like the heart of the show, and they ripped it out. So, and as I was explaining, one of my key frustrations is, this isn't something like Firefly that was episodic, to where you could be like, okay, here's the further adventures. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to take one of the boring months, and I'm going to put some adventures there. Like, it was kind of in real time from when the gang came together to the disillusion. So there's not even really room in the timeline to tell more stories. Those are the reservations I'd have. So have to see it, but that would be exciting. I'd be excited to hear it. Let's see. They want to know if we ever do a live Lunch with Jim and Aaron, will it also stream to the rest of us? We'll certainly record it as a podcast. Streaming depends on...
It's not going to live stream. I can almost guarantee that. I don't know that we're going to have the tech, especially at the beginning, to do that.
But, I mean, that's certainly the goal. But And it just depends on the bandwidth that we have there and how mobile our setup is, etc. But definitely a podcast will always be an end result of those things. Back to you, and then I got another one.
Michael Hernandez says, did you guys catch the Westworld trailer? Thoughts? Yeah, I did. I have no thoughts, because it just seems... I don't know what to make of it. Like, I still don't.
I think it looks awesome. It looks like the most expensive thing HBO might have ever made.
But I'm not totally sure what the story of the thing is yet. I haven't seen the movie, so...
I felt like maybe we talked about this off-air, but my thought was, it looks like... The premise is, this is a theme park for rich people to go to that's peopled entirely by replicants, and the charm of it is you can do whatever you want. You want to murder
somebody. But I don't know what, like, it's apparent that something goes wrong with that.
Yeah, like the replicants become self-aware or figure out that they're not real people.
The trailer was real weird. It didn't, like, explicitly say a lot of stuff.
Which I think that's great. Like, I think it told
I think it's a bad trailer, if that's the case.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it sold you on the atmosphere, and if you watch that trailer and you're intrigued by it, you know you're going to watch it. And if not, then it's a science fiction western with a lot of existential questions about consciousness and intelligence and morality.
But do you know that from the trailer, or do you know that from Westworld?
I've never seen Westworld.
Right, but you knew that before that trailer, didn't you?
No, not really. I mean, I've heard the rep of Westworld, but I didn't really know the plot, honestly.
Okay. I don't know. The trailer did not.
I'm not even sure if Westworld was a movie or a television show, honestly.
I think it was a movie.
See, I thought it was a television show.
Oh.
Like a Star Trek era television show.
You're thinking Deadwood.
I'm thinking of the Fistful of Data's episode of Star Trek. Where Worf and his kid. You know that one.
Where Worf and his kid what?
Goes into a holodeck and have a Wild West adventure, and there's like Data's all over the place.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They missed a golden opportunity to make a sequel for a few Data's more. The Good, the Bad, and the Data. They could have done a trilogy. Why didn't they do a trilogy?
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah, instead of spending so much time with Moriarty or whatever, although he was good too.
Yeah, the Moriarty stuff was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They gave Picard a little too much time.
Worf never had his adventures. I thought Worf was always undersold in TNG. Now, he later came into his own in, like, Deep Space Nine, but there was never enough Worf-centric episodes. And when they were, it was all one-dimensional, you know, Klingons versus his humanity, etc.
Right. Let's go to Mark Spiak, who says, hey, Ron, do you plan on checking out All or Nothing on Amazon about the Arizona Cardinals?
What the fuck?
We've never even heard of it.
Is that like a, oh shit, what is that Showtime series or HBO series where they do the Hard Knocks? It's like Amazon's version of Hard Knocks where they're going and doing a documentary?
I have no idea.
Yeah, because I like sports journalism, so if that's what it is, but.
I liked Moneyball. That was cool.
Yeah. Arizona yeah. Cardinals are just there. I like Bruce Arians. I kind of wish we kept him as a head coach and got rid of Chuck Strong, but I don't have any other. And I kind of got interested in them because they kept on taking our leavings. Like Edgerrin James ended up over there for the twilight of his career, but I don't have any special affinity for them. They're in the wrong conference, you know, wrong side of the country. Okay. They got a bird on their helmet. What's up with that?
Sure.
A cardinal.
I don't know anything about it.
There's a cardinal in every sport. Come on now.
There is, yeah. I think of the St. Louis Cardinals.
They're the most vicious robin-sized bird of the animal kingdom, but, you know, I don't know if that's enough.
Right.
I say this as a pony, essentially.
Mm, yeah. Okay, Mark Ridgway says, do you guys miss your old web development jobs? What type of development did you do? Answer, no, I don't fucking miss it. And I was a mostly PHP developer. I later got into a lot of JavaScript and started to get into Rails, Ruby on Rails, but...
Yeah. I...
didn't ever pick that up.
I don't miss it. It's hard to miss a job when you've got a job that's way cooler now.
Right.
I don't know. I did miss some of the teamwork and camaraderie, like having a you know, it'd be cool if we had 6 to 8 people working at Bald Move, so you could bounce ideas off people and have, like, you know, interesting conversations about what you did on the weekend.
Yeah.
But no, I don't miss the actual techniques of it. And I felt like once I got 30 in that job, and I used to do a lot of PHP and Perl scripting.
Yeah.
And then I got into a Microsoft shop and got into .NET. Development and C# development, and I was also a good, like, an infrastructure and, like, middle tier guy with marrying SQL databases to front ends and stuff. And it's like, you know, the 100th time you sit down to write CRUD software, it just gets and, like, every problem was solved, and the ones that were interesting were just like fucking mammoths that you just have to research the shit out of. And
yeah.
You know, and I started doing things that the ones I had the most fun is I was working for this chain of C stores. Like, they had 100 stores in Ohio and Indiana, and I wrote a lot of, like, low level software that integrate, like, check readers into this register software and auto verify checks and credit cards, and wrote one of those loyalty cards. Like, you scan it, you get points and shit. And I essentially wrote that whole system. That was fun. But then again, that was like, I did that when I was 28, 29. And I hit 30, and I just felt like once I'd done these big projects, like, everything else was the same thing. And I was just going to do this forever until I either get up to management, and then I'm just bossing other programmers around, or I'd die. So
for
30 seems like a good time to get out of the industry.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're right. There's no place. Like, say what you want about ageism.
Yeah.
It's a very real thing in that industry.
Yeah.
Like, you age out of it very quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a couple of people who were older working at this big insurance company that I was at, but, like, most of
them. And I just got tired. The biggest problem is every 3 years you have to fucking relearn your job, man.
You do. That's why I think it's a young person's game.
Yeah.
Is because they don't know the old stuff. They don't have to give a shit about it. They just get the new stuff.
Right.
You know, eventually you get tired of that treadmill.
Right.
But
I always thought, like, for a time, and this might be the ageism, for a time it seemed like everything was getting better. Like, yes, this definitely makes my job easier, and this makes it quicker, and this takes the, like, 90% of drudgery and lets you focus on the 10% stuff that's hard.
Yeah.
But then, like, when you started doing, like, you know, MVC, model viewer controller, and model view modeler, and, like, all these different...
Which are actually old programming patterns that have just come back.
And I'm like, I don't necessarily see the benefit, and I worked on big projects and small, and, like,
yeah,
I like, a lot of the stuff just started to seem like flavor of the month and things that are changing just for change sake, and trying to keep up with the latest, like, you know, JavaScript platforms and implementations and, you know.
Right. That stuff blew up, like, few years before I got out of it.
Right.
Just, like, Node and Backbone and just, like,
and there was
15
this,
different,
like,
JavaScript.
Oh, here's Mustache, and it's now Handlebar.
Right.
And now Handlebar Mustache.
Less than SAS, because we just want competing
and now
technologies
fucking Fu Manchu's coming down because someone decided they didn't like this particular type. And I'm like, fuck it all. And right. I get shoved on a team where they're doing the, and like if you paid attention to like Silicon Valley with the tab versus spaces, like that shit's real.
Yeah.
And it's real dumb, and yeah, it's a young man's game.
It is. It is for sure. And I don't know that's necessarily a terrible thing, but it certainly makes it less than stable as you get older.
Yeah.
The other thing that I actually do like about it, you mentioned how a lot of these problems are already solved. I do like the idea that you can go into something, you can be sure that there's a solution and that it will work.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this running our own business shit,
yeah.
Every step of the way we're second guessing ourselves. Is this even going to happen? Like, what are we doing here? Uh-huh. It's not like programming where you can sit down to a task, get it done,
right?
And you know that there is a solution. Like,
yeah.
That feels really satisfying to me, but also the other things, the ability to be creative and execute on our own ideas and stuff like that, that part of the business stuff is just thrilling to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when it all comes together, it's fun. But when you...
Yeah.
Like, this last few weeks of the website, man, has been...
Oh, right. No, there
I was up till
3:30
babysitting the creation of the feeds so that... on Sunday night so that the fucking instant post would. And I was still, like, getting a constant stream of shit and email about where's it at, yeah. where's it at. Yeah. And I know... And, like, it's one of those things where you try to get a zen. It's like, well, the reason I'm going through this hell is because you're so popular. And, but also, like, everybody stop hitting F5, you know?
Right. Stay away from our site for 10 minutes. Just.
Right. Just can I get in? Can I access my own back? It was so frustrating. I was so tired.
Right.
But yeah, it'd be nice to be able to just roll up my sleeves and take 3 weeks and go in a closet and fix it. But what are you going to do?
Sure.
I've got another one over here.
Yeah, go over there because we're out on hashtag bald lunch.
Fern from New York City, have either of you... Wait, any news from Mr. Shatner's people? What the hell is this in reference to?
So I sent Mr. Shatner, Mr. William T. Shatner.
Bill?
Is his
Bill
name
Shatner?
Also,
are you talking about the actor?
Middle name also T?
I don't know. Probably.
James T. Shatner. I sent him an email.
Wait, how come I didn't hear about this? And how did he hear about this?
Because I posted it on Twitter. I was like, just sent an email to Shatner's people to maybe do some VO for our Star Trek podcast. They came back almost immediately and were like, Mr. Shatner does not do VO for podcasts.
All right.
God damn it.
I bet he doesn't have a PR person. That's actually him.
It was signed Paul. So it's an
name.
Elaborate ruse.
William P. Shatner. Mr. Shatner doesn't do podcast voiceovers.
Apparently not. Like, just blanket policy. Go fuck yourself. It doesn't matter who you are.
That sounds right. That sounds right.
So, next up.
Do you understand, like...
Will Wheaton.
He's like... I know he's not the biggest celebrity, but he's certainly right. Big enough that if he started doing that shit, it's like all he would do.
It would take 5 minutes, and I'd be willing to pay $500 for that.
And he'd be like, I don't get out of bed for less than 10.
I don't know. I mean, I guess, yeah, maybe. I mean, if he charges $2,000 and it's just too expensive for 5 minutes of his time, I would be like, okay, fine. Fuck
right.
it.
Right.
But to just, like, rule it out and not even give a price?
I don't know, man. Like, that's the thing. Like, once you get to a certain level of... probably fame and notoriety, just any of that shit is just annoying beyond belief. Like, it's not fun. It's just like a constant hole of need that you can never fill. Like, just
I
one more
so.
And like, I was like, you know, it's like the whole selfie thing. I hear like stars really hate it because they're like, just one quick picture, but it's never.
No,
it's never quick. It's
that's
never
why
one.
I don't want to be famous because
yeah,
it's just it never stops.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, if it was one quick, it'd be fine. But, like, you know, it's like, oh, you don't know how to use a cell phone. And, oh, did it take? And, like, oh, can we do one more time? And now five other people have realized that this is happening. And they want to do one quick. And
oh, that must be somebody famous. They don't even know who it is.
Yeah.
They come over.
And I get it. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, well, shit, it must be terrible to be famous. But it kind of is. Like,
yeah.
I can see it.
I would
I can
not
see
like
it. You know, like being more famous than like Adam Savage, I think would just be like there's the place where like that would probably be the ideal level of fame. because you're known within one
notch above me on tolerance for fame.
But like he's talked about how he can walk around his own neighborhood and his own city, and like most people are fairly polite, and Tom Cruise famous, or like Michael Jackson famous, or like that. Fuck all it. Of that. Yeah. Justin Bieber famous. Nope.
No thanks.
Nope. Nope. People start trying to snatch your hair. That's when I get off of that crazy train.
Yeah. So the news
I got
is
no hair to snatch. No. So that got
they'll
shut
be chopping
down
into your beard, man. They'll have the scissors out, gnawing away at your jawline. That's what'll happen.
By the way, I'm still this 2 weeks in. I'm still kind of disappointed. I can see skin here. What the fuck?
It's
low T.
I don't think it's low T. I think that's more than average human hair growth.
The other thing is
you're just used to giant bushy beard.
Well, plus the last time I shaved it, I had a lot more pepper in my than salt, right. And now like this is shocking amount of white in my beard.
Yeah,
the fuck. Michelle wants to know if either one of you have listened to Ewan Rayons, the guy who plays Ramsey Bolton's music. He's actually really good. He kind of falls more into the Damien Rice, Ray LaMontagne.
LaMontagne.
Yeah, thank you. Check out his song, Dinard. Yeah, Cecily played me a bunch of his music a couple weeks ago. Same way, Karis van Houten is actually pretty good.
Right, I did listen to hers.
The person plays Melisandre. I really like her stuff as well.
Yeah, haven't listened to Ramsey's music.
It's a trip. Seeing this guy, like, you know, not I wouldn't call it crooning, but, you know, something beautiful.
Whose music was I listening to recently that had live music? It wasn't Kiefer. I knew Kiefer Sutherland had music. Was it Bill Paxton, maybe?
It seems like a lot of these guys have bands.
Yeah, I mean, Russell Crowe has a band. Yeah, so many of them. Yeah. Like, if you're a creative type, I can see where music would be really fulfilling.
Yeah.
Especially since, like, those actors, they're reading other people's lines so often. Like, writing lyrics must be heaven for them.
And just, like, in any random movie set, if you got, like, 50 people in the cast, there's a band. You've got a band.
You have multiple bands. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's probably
easy. The lighting guy. I know he plays guitar. Come on. The guy at the catering table. Oh, he plays drums. For sure that guy plays drums.
Michelle wants to know if you're interested in reaching out to John Hamm for voiceover.
He would not be my first pick for Star Trek, but yeah, I would like to have John Hamm do some voiceover for us, absolutely.
Sure. I wonder, because I feel like any of the original cast that's surviving for Star Trek, you're not going to get.
George Takei is surprising. Like, Will Wheaton. Okay. Will Wheaton,
but
I think...
that's not original cast. I'm talking about...
Oh, original. I think George Takei is, like, the best bet there.
Maybe, I tell you what, the other one, LeVar Burton.
Okay.
Because you'd just be banking on the fact he's such a fucking nice guy.
Right.
That's the number one thing I miss about Twitter. I miss LeVar Burton's tweets. LeVar Burton is, like, just a relentlessly positive dude. I'm trying to think of who else. Like the girl who plays Topol, the teeth whitener Vulcan.
T'Pol from
Enterprise.
Okay,
like you slide. Where do you slide down?
Right, that's her.
Like Chakotay, is he good enough for you?
Oh yeah,
Tom Paris.
Well, that's the thing. Like
Neelix,
I'm not necessarily.
You tell Neelix go fuck himself.
I would tell Neelix go fuck himself. I don't want your voice.
How far down that scale would you slide?
Pretty far down. Mm-hmm. I've already contacted Will Wheaton, so hopefully he'll get back, because that'd be cool.
Yeah.
I would like to get a stable of recorded voiceovers that we can go to with the intro and mix it up every week.
Right.
And not even just Star Trek people, but like podcasting people that we're fond of.
Sure.
Like if you want to see what Dan Harmon's up to, he'll tell you to go fuck yourself.
Probably.
Or he'll tell you, fuck you, pay me.
You never know. Like he honestly is like playing Russian roulette.
Right.
Like, are you going to get your brains blown out, or is he going to, like, come in and do, like, something, like, get Justin Roiland, and, like, they're just going to be high at one lunch and, like, fuck yeah, we'll do this, and who knows? Yeah. Who knows?
So, I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Let's see. Michelle obviously clarifies that she's talking about just random voiceover work, John Hamm.
Right. I mean, that'd be great. There's no fucking chance
just
that'll happen.
Just keep him on retainer. Like, we need some narration.
Hey, John.
we actually need some narration for this Game of Thrones thing we're recording. Can you do a couple lines about our board game?
I call him Jack. Everybody calls him John. Sure. I call him Jack.
Sure. You know. I call him Hammy.
He wanted to be called that up.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Hey, Hammy. What's up, Hammy? That's it. We're done.
Yeah.
We're done.
Went a little long, but it was fun.
As is our want, we've run long on lunch.
Again.
Our bosses are going to be so pissed.
Oh, man.
Coming in 50, dragging our asses in 60 minutes from lunch.
We do have 7 podcasts to record, though. So.
We do. We do have 7 podcasts and the aforementioned Game of Thrones voiceover.
Right. Right. We need to get some voiceover
and
work.
And we still have to mail the
done.
Last of the Joffrey glasses out.
We do.
The stragglers. All right, guys. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend. Don't blow off any fingers nor toes. Happy birthday to America. The time where we get to do it's us slowly trotting around the bases as we knock a walk-off homer into the stands, and Great Britain just seethes from the mound, just pissed. I stole that from Bill Simmons shamelessly, but that's okay. Our great national holiday.
Is there still a Great Britain? I don't even
it's
know
the UK.
Anymore.
What's
like
you get?
Shit's so
still
weird
a
over
UK,
there now.
But maybe not for long. It might be at the end that you just have... I don't even...
Is there still an England? I don't even fucking know anymore.
So the way I understand it is the UK is Ireland, Scotland...
Wales.
England, and Wales. Mm. Great Britain is Scotland, England, and Wales. And England
that
is England, and Wales is Wales.
And the UK is like...
The UK is all of them.
All of them.
It's Ireland,
the
Scotland...
used to be all of... Yeah. Like, a good chunk of Europe. Now it's not. Like.
Yeah.
Fucking no.
Yeah.
So weird over there.
I got a lot of, apropos of nothing, I got a lot of hate mail from people, from Brexiters, that didn't appreciate my 5 seconds of humorous commentary on the situation in a Game of Thrones podcast.
Right. People take us far too seriously.
I don't think. These guys are chuckleheads. Like, okay. One, like a legit fascist with the whole, you're a bunch of cucks and this and that. Was in my
means.
Yeah, it's like delete block.
Don't know what your British slang means. Goodbye.
All right, guys. Yeah, have a good weekend. Light off a firework in opposition of the cuckolding fascist, whatever the fuck his name is, Finn the Viking. We'll talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.
Bye.